Welcome, everybody. It is another revolutionary episode of HomeKit Insider. You have me, Andrew O'Hara, here with my pal and Mr. Peanuts Muse, Stephen Robles. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. You know, the Mr. Peanuts, I know you think of these intros and probably don't expect commentary, but I feel like the Peanuts thing, do you remember the whole social media debacle where it was like the death of Mr. Peanut?
Oh, yeah.
And then he like resurrected as another peanut or something?
They're still playing on that, yeah.
Yeah, it's very strange. Weird marketing campaigns from companies like Mr. Peanut and Intel. Just saying. It's weird.
That was why it came to me, because we've been watching like TV. Like normally we have like, you know, stuff without commercials and it's fine. But then as soon as you go to like some other app that like requires commercials for just like random episodes or something, they play like the same like two commercials 50 times. So my wife and I have seen like the Mr. Peanut, oh, I'm back, and we didn't spend money on a Super Bowl commercial, but we're going to give it to other people and that whole thing. So Mr. Peanut, I got Mr. Peanut on my head.
Well, to stay off topic from HomeKit, I have a product that I wanted to mention that we discussed many moons ago. You had actually brought it to my attention, and I had been thinking about it ever since. And so it was my birthday recently, and I asked for a U-keg, and I got it. And Andrew, I just have to say, this is not HomeKit related. It's home related.
It's home related.
You make nitro cold brew at home. And man, I have to tell you, this U-keg is pretty amazing. Now, I have made cold brew at home for probably the past 2 years. So I'm a seasoned cold brewer in my home, and I've had other parties say that I make a pretty good cold brew. But making cold brew in the U-keg, I actually find it makes good tasting cold brew, first of all. Obviously, beans you use is a big deal, but I was using the same beans in both my old Takeya cold brew maker and now the U-keg. And the U-keg tastes wonderful. And you do a little nitrous, the CO2 cartridge, and after 24 hours of brewing your beans, you literally, and this was the terrifying part, you open the valve to allow CO2 into the canister, and then you shake violently for 1 minute. Now, this was terrifying. It was a terrifying process because I'm like, there's a CO2 cartridge that just cracked open.
Well, like an NO or whatever it is, a nitrogen cartridge. It's not using
nitrocarbon. Yeah, whatever they use for that. And the instruction manual for the U-keg, the entire first page is like, do not open the cap when the cartridge is like open or full, or like, do not do this and that. And it's like, okay, I'm reading every do not very, very carefully, but they tell you to shake it. That's how you infuse the cold brew with the nitrogen oxide. And so I shook it violently for 1 minute, which is no easy task. I will say I should have started a workout on my Apple Watch.
Seriously.
Because it's a big keg. It's a big keg and you got to shake it all up. But I shook it for a minute. And then I put it down, and it's got the spout. You feel like you're at a bar or something because you got the little tap. And I poured it with the glass tilted, so you know you get that nice head of foam on the nitro cold brew. And it is delicious. And everyone who has tried it has spoken highly of it. And I'm just going to say U-keg is not a sponsor of this episode. I don't know if we could pitch to them to sponsor an ad on the HomeKit Insider show. But I will say
Well, not after we give it away for free.
That's true. That's true. Well, I don't know. I just had to say it. For anyone who is trying to make cold, you know, stay at home. We're still in this era. You know, vaccines are getting out, hopefully returning to normal in the somewhat near future. But if you're missing that nitro cold brew from somewhere, the U-keg is a great option to make it at home. And it's not hard. After you get over all the do-nots, you know, you do it the first time and it's not hard. So anyway, that's just my plug for the U-keg.
We love ours. We go through, you know, phases. I definitely haven't used it in the past like month or so as it was cold out and I didn't have any good beans, but we have a bunch of new coffee that we've been trying and I've got my nitro cartridges. I'm ready to do it again. The one thing that scared me the first time, so after you like infuse the nitrogen and you drink your coffee, I prematurely went to take out the nitrous cartridge. So what you should do, you know, close it so it's not doing anything. Then you open up the top, you rinse your U-keg out, and you can fill it with like just plain water. Then you screw the top back on. Then you open up that cartridge again and use it to flush your system. It's going to flush all the water and everything through like the nozzle on your spout to make sure that's all clear and clean before you use it again or put it in a storage, whatever. And I didn't do that. So you do that and it not only cleans your system there, but it'll also empty out the cartridge completely. Right. So you just let it run until it's clear. And I didn't do that. So like, I'm like, oh, that's fine. I don't really need to clean it. I'm just filling it up again. Like, what's the big deal? And then I went to go take out the cartridge. And it's like, it just like,
yes, yes.
There was stuff still in there. So that surprised me. I did not read that full page of don'ts before I just was excited to get my coffee that I had to at least wait 24 hours to drink in the first place. But we love that UK. Go between the UK and our Nespresso machine for the most part. Pretty solid options.
That's awesome. And I will say brewing cold brew is like a lesson in delayed gratification because it's really like overnight. Like you want to brew it 24 hours. So
at least. So when I'm doing like regular cold brew, before we had this thing, I bought like every cold brew thing under the sun and they all were basically the same thing and none were great. It just still was never strong enough. And I would even do like extra beans or put it in for longer periods of time. And I just never had like a really strong, good cold brew. It always just tasted a little watery
to me.
But the UK is just, it does a good job. And I think the nitrogen adds a little bit of sweetness to your coffee.
Yes.
And it's got the, you know, cold brew is going to be less acid. So for people who have like, you know, I always have problems like acid reflux and stuff, this helps with being a little bit less acidic and you got sweetness in there. So you don't actually have to add as much like creamer or anything else. You can add like minimal and just drink this thing. And it's so good and smooth.
Yeah, I actually tried. I mean, I normally put cream and stevia in my cold brew, but from the UK, I tried it straight because, like you were saying, nitro cold brew is smoother. It actually has a hint of sweetness. And just like straight out of the UK, you can enjoy it. Like it actually tastes good. Mm-hmm. It's not bitter. Like it's just amazing. And so listen, any respectable home kit technology aficionado, you need a good way to make coffee. And this is another one. This is another good way. Just putting that out.
The weather's getting warm. Who doesn't want to have some good cold brew?
That's right. That's right.
You know, as the weather is getting warm.
That is right. Okay. So that's the UKeg. I'll put a link in show notes to that if listeners want to check it out. I want to mention a couple news things and rumors. First of all, we saw this app float around, and Andrew saw it, and I saw it, and we were hesitant to mention it because it looks a little, how can we say this nicely, Andrew? I mean, it looks interesting. It is called the Hue Sentiment for Philips Hue. It's a new app that you can download. We'll put a link in show notes. It is $2, and it is promising that if you like type in your mood into this app, how you are feeling right now, that it will change the color temperature of your Hue light bulbs to match your mood or change to your mood. I'm not sure if it would help you get out of a bad mood. I don't believe it advertises that. But that is the promise of this app. It's called Hue Sentiment for Philips Hue, $2. It only has one rating. It has one rating that is one star. And there's a response from the developer talking about maybe this person didn't use it right. But we just wanted to mention it because it's out there. It was in a couple news, you know, publications. And do remember that when you download third-party apps that access your home data, you are having to give it access to your home data. So just remember that and be mindful of the apps you use. But if you want to try it, it's there.
So I did notice, because I want to try things out, this doesn't actually go through your home data. It's not using HomeKit. This is specifically tying into your Hue bridge. So with any third party, so there's like, you know, your HomeKit stuff that deals with all of your HomeKit devices or specific HomeKit devices. But then there are ones that are like, there's a, like a Works with Hue system and they use the Hue APIs in their own apps. And then you have to connect it to your system. It actually requires a physical button press to do. So you open the app, make sure you're on the same network, then you go and press the button on your Hue bridge, and it'll pair these things together. So you do it that way instead of through the home app. But of course, anytime you're giving anyone access to any home data, it's be cautious of what you're doing.
Right.
But I think it's an interesting idea for an app. I mean, we haven't seen something specifically like this. We've seen the ones that do stuff with photos or with music, and this one's for mood. So it's kind of a cool little thing. If anyone wants to try it out, it's $2. It's not terrible. So
right.
Try it out if you want. See what you guys think and let us know. And if you hate it, then I guess just delete it and move on.
And I think when you delete an app, I mean, it doesn't have access to your like Hue information anymore. I mean, nope. It's gone. Yep.
Gone.
Yeah. You'd be all right if you just want to delete it. It doesn't stay connected or anything like that. So we know that the home Pod was discontinued. We talked about that on last week's episode, which, if you missed last week's episode, NanoLeaf CEO and co-founder Jimmy Chu was on the show, and I highly encourage you to check it out. It was a fun episode. Jimmy was a lot of fun to talk to and talked about NanoLeaf, future of their products and Thread and all that good stuff. So check that out. But now there's been rumors of, is Apple going to resurrect a speaker-like device, but then also add things like a screen and make it more of a home hub, which we already have home hubs. I mean, Apple TV, HomePod are home hubs. But this being like a all-in-one device where you would control your home, you can talk to Siri, you can play music from it. And this is not some weird concept. Google has one. The Google Home is a screen device that can also play music and you can interact with it, control your home, recipes, all that. And Amazon has a similar product with the Echo Show. It's a screen that you can talk to, has the voice assistant, can play music and all that. So this is basically, is Apple going to do what Google and Amazon have with this screen type device? Maybe it would have FaceTime built in. Maybe it would have some kind of multi-user support on voice recognition, which, you know, Home Hub or the HomePod had it, and Apple TV has those multiple profiles. So this is just a rumor kind of taken from a comment that Mark Gurman made, I believe. But man, what do you think about this, Andrew? Would this be of interest to you?
I think it's funny, one, how big this has gotten, how it's, you know, spawned dedicated pieces.
Yes.
Because if you do go back and look at the source, it was like a throwaway comment from Gurman in coverage right. about other stuff. And yet this was the piece that was like picked out and shared everywhere. And honestly, I am even more surprised by the responses that I have seen. I mean, because I did... So Wes and I, we wrote an article on AI about it, going into what we'd like to see and what it should do to be a successful product. And then I was also running polls on our YouTube channel, and we are getting people who are like, oh my gosh, please, I want this so bad. That's my camp. And then there's the other people who are like, why in the world would Apple try to smush a HomePod together with an iPad for some stupid Franken product?
Right.
And I mean, I think that is bizarre. I think there is a legitimately a good use case for something like this. And I am very jealous about, like, you know, going to my parents' house. My dad's got, like, because Amazon, you know, farms out their stuff. They open up their APIs and anyone can make things. So he's got like a Lenovo, like, smart display in his kitchen.
What?
Yeah. And it's really cool. I mean, when you're doing something like a timer, something, you can actually see your timer there. You can't see that on the HomePod when you set those things. So if you're cooking, like I do that a lot, and I'll just have the HomePod set a timer for me, but I can't see how long is like left on that.
Right.
So like something as simple as a timer for cooking would be, you know, heightened by having a screen on there, but being able to see, oh, you guys know that I've been asking for some sort of HomeKit dash control, whether it is opening up the HomeKit APIs to allow third-party devices to do it, like the brilliant wall panels.
Yeah.
Those show as a, you know, a wall switch inside of HomeKit, but you can't control any HomeKit devices through the brilliant panels. If you were going with Alexa and all the other ones, then the world's your oyster, and you can go ahead and like throw your Ring camera from your doorbell like onto your brilliant displays and see who's at your door when they press the button, I believe. Like, stuff like that is just cool, and you cannot do anything like that with HomeKit. HomeKit has no display options other than going through your iPad, and there's not even a good dashboard kind of app. I know there are a couple out there, so don't everyone be tweeting at me. I know there's a couple out there, but I just don't love them for what I want. Like, they're definitely optimized for the iPad and not as kind of like a dashboard display. Kind of home hub like this, I feel like it would need to be like a combination of Apple TV and like CarPlay, like that CarPlay dashboard where you can see like your time, your timers, an event you've got coming up, your music, your media controls that are playing, as well as like maybe a version of Control Center that shows you intelligently what devices are on that you may want to access, as well as diving into individual, you know, apps that might be optimized for that display. So I think there's something that they could do here. I think would be really helpful. I mean, combining that display with Siri, with a premium speaker, tying in Thread, like that's, you know, a solid home hub option. Of course, yeah. Wes and I were debating like what the heck the name would be, because Apple already has, everyone knows this in the HomeKit space, a home hub, two words
right.
for your Apple TV, HomePod, something like that, that acts as the hub for your HomeKit space. It enables remote access, HSV, stuff like that. But would Apple name this the Home Hub, as in one word, and have both of those going on?
I got some ideas right here. Okay, you ready?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
All right, listen. Apple's done with the I whatever. You know, they don't put I in front of names anymore. That's a past thing. So that's not it. So it's either going to be Apple something or Home something as how they name this device. Now, they could just straight up steal Amazon's name, and they could call it the Home Show, as in the Echo Show. Could do that. They could do...
What about the Siri Show?
They could do the Siri Show, although that just I feel like Siri funny. Has enough of a negative connotation with enough people, they might not want to put that in another name. But get ready for this, Andrew. This would be the deal, okay? Home screen. I'm going to say it again. Home screen. That play on words. Think about Craig Federighi on stage announcing that name and shooting a look at the audience that's like, that's right. We just did that. I feel like they might do that. Or they could just call it the Apple Home, like the Apple Home device.
They could.
Because it's the one device to put in your house. I will say, just to echo what you have said, I would love a device like this. I mean, the kitchen is like the one place where it feels like all of this would be useful, both a screen and a speaker on a stand. I mean, that's kind of where Google and Amazon picture their devices. Although there is this one commercial that Amazon has where there's an Echo Show and it looks like a son and his father, and his father's kind of elderly. And the son puts an Echo Show in the living room with his dad, and the dad doesn't want to use it because it's, you know, technology and whatever. And then eventually, like, the dad tries asking for a song to play because he heard his son singing it and then is all about it. First of all, great commercial. Great song. Of talking about companies and marketing campaigns, like, Amazon can do it and not have to diss other companies. Like, they're just showing their product, and it's like actually a heartwarming commercial, unlike Intel. Just throwing that out again. But anyway, you know, I could see that, especially that play for if you have an elderly parent or relative or just someone you're taking care of, where you can have a camera in there where you can fire up FaceTime. You know, there's that creepy line of, can someone fire up the camera, like, well, someone in your family, but can someone like jump in unannounced? If you have someone elderly that you're taking care of, maybe that's useful, but with Apple's stance on privacy, I feel like that'd be a little strange. But anyway, I think it would be useful. The kitchen would be a great place for it. I would totally get one for mine. And just for timers, like you had mentioned, I have to say, my family uses timers all the time, but there is so much timer cross-pollination, and I will explain. My wife is trying to set timers for cooking. My kids are trying to set timers for their video game time and like homework stuff because they do certain things with timers there. And then if I ever have to set a timer, it is immediately apparent that the HomePod cannot handle timers extremely well. And there are times when it seems like timers just mysteriously disappear, or, you know, if there are multiple timers set, like you can do that. You can say set a timer for 30 minutes, set a timer for 60 minutes, and it'll keep both those timers running. But then if someone says cancel all timers, like it's wiped out. And so if there was another person trying to keep track there, it ain't gonna happen. So a device like this where there was a screen and you could visually see multiple timers on the screen would be immensely useful. And so I'd be all about it.
Or even like name your timers, like set my potato timer. And then you have like, it'll actually show the timer and it's for potatoes, but then you got your homework timer or your pasta, whatever you got going on. But you could actually have like set timers with different names. To also further corroborate this, that it's a possibility, because we've again had a ton of debate internally and externally on whether or not this is something that Apple would actually do. And one, I still think it's ridiculous that HomeKit users have nothing in this space. The Google Nest Hub V2 just like recently launched, like I think like last week or something, 2 weeks ago maybe. So like they're on their freaking second gen devices and farming out to third parties, and Apple's still like just sitting on their hands. But to further kind of push that this might be a possibility, or maybe sooner rather than later, is the HomePod is running like a version of like tvOS, I believe, and the most recent version, the beta updates of 14.5 for tvOS and HomePod update actually includes the framework for FaceTime. And what a handy solution to have like FaceTime on a home hub device like that.
Well, I would be all about a device like this. And so listeners, tell us how you feel about this. This has kind of been blowing up in the past week, and we'd love to hear if you'd be interested, if you would get it. Andrew, what do you think the pricing would be on something like this?
I would be happy. I would be happy to pay $399, but depending on the screen and speakers being used, I would go up to 5. But I think Apple would do better to keep it at that 3 to 4 price point. I think the, you know, the problem with the original HomePod was the price was so high and people didn't see the value in like it's the ability to kind of address its sound as it moved and stuff like that. Like some of the extra features Apple built in that weren't as visible and had that higher price tag compared to what's in the market. So I think Apple's going to need to keep it to like a 300 or a 350 to make it like really competitive with some of the other ones, because a lot of them get really freaking cheap when you get into that Amazon space.
Yeah.
3 seems like a nice premium, like a good decent spot there.
That's the tough part, because I just looked it up. So the Google, and they call it the Nest Hub now. It's not the Google Hub.
Yeah.
So the Nest Hub, the smaller one, 7-inch screen, which is still a pretty good size screen, is only $99.
Yeah, they get cheap.
Yeah, and the Nest Hub Max, which is larger screen and the bigger speaker, is only $229.
Yeah.
$230.
So I think Apple coming in at a premium $300 makes it somewhat comparable.
Yeah.
And has their elevated price tag.
Yeah, I think in the 300s, they can't cross into the 4s, but I would love to see a device like this. I guess it would make sense considering if they want to stay competitive with Google and Amazon, they already have devices like this. So it makes somewhat sense, but we'll see. We'll see.
I've gotten really close to buying like an Echo Show or something just because I would really like it. But I also am like, there's nothing in my house that like works. I mean, a lot of my stuff is Eve stuff. If you got stuff that's like specifically HomeKit only, you know, your Eve, any of your Eve products at all, any of your new Logitech products like the Circle View doorbell cam, none of those are going to work with anything but HomeKit. So even if you had, you know, something that supported third-party things like, you know, Arlo cameras maybe, but it wouldn't work with, you know, any of my actual HomeKit stuff. Yeah, I've definitely shied away from it, but I would love to have an Apple option or a HomeKit option.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we want to mention kind of the last bit of news and a special giveaway one of our friends are doing. SwitchBot, which you've heard us talk about before, the little robot fingers. That's not their tagline. That's just kind of what we call them. But SwitchBot, they're doing an Easter giveaway, and they're actually going to be announcing 2 new products. We can't share them just yet, but this giveaway includes those new products if you win. And so that will be, we'll announce that on next week's HomeKit Insider show. You can hear what those new products are. Very exciting. Not only do they have those new products coming out, but they also updated some of their previous products with some pretty cool features. The SwitchBot curtain, which we've talked about, which is not an actual full curtain. It's actually just a little robot device that goes on the rail and can push your curtains open and close automatically, which is pretty cool. They actually published a Homebridge API, and we've talked about Homebridge lots of times on the show. And so there's now a plugin which can bring that SwitchBot curtain support to HomeKit, whether you have a Hoobs device or a Raspberry Pi running Homebridge or a Mac running Homebridge. So that's pretty cool. Also, the Rod and U rail versions of the SwitchBot curtain, they've been upgraded to solve 2 of the previous issues that the SwitchBot curtain of getting stuck at the transition of the extendable rod and not fitting the U rail. So there's new versions fixing that. And not only that, but Amazon is going to have 15% off SwitchBot products, and the SwitchBot website, they're going to have this lucky draw thing, which will have an opportunity to get 10 to 50% off products there. There'll be a link in show notes and in the article on appleinsider.com where you can check that out. But if you want to enter the giveaway that they're running, the giveaway is going to run from March 30th to April 7th. So it's 9 days. But when you see this episode pop up in your feed, there's instructions in the show notes and in the article on appleinsider.com, and you can enter then. But it's basically a $500 valued Easter giveaway. It's pretty awesome. You just have to tweet out, like we've done previous giveaways before, tweet out what we have in the show notes or the article, follow Andrew, myself, and SwitchBot, and that's at SwitchBot. And you can try and guess what those new SwitchBot products will be. You might get some bonus points for that as you tweet out. But there's actually going to be 3 winners. We're going to choose 3 winners from HomeKit Insider to get all this. And here's what you get. You get a $50 Amazon gift card, which is pretty sweet. Spend it on whatever you want there. You're going to get 2 SwitchBot curtains. You get a Hub Mini. You get a SwitchBot remote. You get 2 SwitchBot bots, which are those robot fingers you can use to control things around your house. And you get 2 of those new products that are going to be coming out that we'll talk about next time. So awesome giveaway. Look in the show notes so you can tweet to enter to win. And I will say, I still use my SwitchBot Hub Mini literally every day, because if you want to control a dumb TV with a Siri shortcut or from your iPhone and iPad device, I love that Hub Mini because it's an IR blaster. And you can program it to control air conditioning units or dumb TVs or any TV really with the IR blaster. So I just love my SwitchBot stuff. And this is an awesome giveaway they're doing. So enter to win, and it runs from March 30th to April 7th. You can tweet as soon as you see this in the episode. Do you have any SwitchBot stuff?
I don't have any SwitchBot stuff, but I'm going to go ahead and follow myself. And I'm going to follow you and follow SwitchBot.
That's right. That's right.
That's a heck of a prize package. I mean, geez, you're getting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 products plus a gift card.
I know. That's pretty sweet. Here's my recommendation. You don't have to do this, listener, but if you win, you can use that $50 gift card towards a U-Keg. I'm just saying. Just saying. You can automate your curtains to open while you pull your U-Keg out and pour yourself some nitro cold brew. That sounds like a good morning to me.
Right? You don't even have to get up. You got your nitro cold brew coffee. Your curtains open automatically.
And he actually saw, I think it was an Instagram ad. SwitchBot's getting on that Instagram game. But it was like an espresso machine, and they put a little SwitchBot robot finger above the power button. And you can see the little robot finger like hit the on button so the espresso starts brewing. Can't beat that. It's a good morning. They can take that and run with it. Okay. Now you got something that, Andrew, I was ready, as we record, I was ready to click buy now for this. And it is the Eve Weather. We talked about it with the Eve brand manager, Tim Booth. And I was so excited. And this thing, the Eve Weather, sold out basically instantly. If you go right now, we'll put the link in show notes. It's on Amazon. $70 for Eve Weather. You get the temperature control, humidity, barometric pressure, all that good stuff. But the next time it's going to be in stock is April 17th. And by the end of this episode, I'll still probably pre-order it because I really want one. But you did the full review of this, Andrew. Tell me about the Eve Weather.
Man, I just love how this happened. Like, it started shipping on, you know, the 25th, and now just completely gone. And I was wondering how people were going to, you know, we had a lot of thoughts on this guy, and I love it. And I just can't believe that they sold out so flipping fast. Like, we didn't even have our article up that point on Thursday that it was like now available and already out the door. But yeah, so the new Eve Weather, we talked a lot about it. So there's not a lot of new details we're going to go over. If you guys want to know like all the actual specs and everything, check out our past episode where we talked about it with Tim. It's a very cool, you know, what they kind of refer to it as a HomeKit weather station, even though it doesn't do things like the rain and the wind. And our response from the review was those are the things that people looked at were missing most from it. Those were their biggest complaints about this. Other than that, this thing is just a slam dunk. And the main reason why they don't have wind or rain measurements available on something like this, even as additional components or anything, is because of HomeKit's limitations. So everything that Eve does is squarely inside of the HomeKit camp. There's nothing that is requiring any different connectivity or servers or nada. This is all done through HomeKit commands. So bringing on those additional sensors, they cannot even be captured via HomeKit. So that's why Eve doesn't have those as an option. What you can capture is the temperature, the humidity, and the barometric pressure. Now, it's going to display on the new large screen your temperature in Fahrenheit or Celsius, and it even includes like a tenth position to the side of the decimal, so you can get like 54.1 degrees Fahrenheit. It'll also show your humidity, so, you know, whatever it is, 60% outside. And then there's a new really neat feature, which is your forecast. So it's a roughly 12-hour forecast, and they garner that every morning based on your local weather metrics. So it's actually looking at, you know, the pressure, the humidity, everything like that, and it's able to make a prediction for the day, which I think is a really neat little feature. So you walk out and it's going to basically tell you there's a good chance of rain today just based on what it's able to collect through its sensors. So it'll show all of those pieces of information on that display. I have mine mounted on our porch, so you can see it through the door, through our windows, and as soon as you walk out the door, boom, there's your temperature, there's your whatever. And like, we put this up, my wife is like, what's the temperature outside? And I'm like, well, it's right there. It is 50 degrees or something. So I think it's really cool to be able to see all that information at once on the new larger display. It is like an older, like LCD kind of looking display. And part of me wonders if that's just because it's outdoors. You know, it is weather, temperature resistant, everything, both highs and lows. So I don't know if that's why they go with that style display versus a more modern looking display, but I don't have a problem with it. I mean, it's a temperature gauge. It's definitely giving me the information I need without any problems at all.
Very cool. To be clear, if you want to ask your HomePod and find out what that Eve weather station is reading as the temperature. What do you say?
So for me, we have ours located on our patio. So I'll just say, hey, Apple Assistant, what's the temperature on the patio? And Siri is able to respond back with what my, you know, Eve weather is getting. And this is another really big change for this guy, is it does include Thread support.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty clutch, because before, using Bluetooth. And when it's outside, depending on where you have it mounted, you may not have that Bluetooth connection, especially to your home hub.
Right.
Unless you had like your Apple TV or your HomePod within range, that wasn't connecting. And unless you had your phone there or something, it wasn't going to connect either. So that was my big problem before, is I would ask, you know, Siri, and it just was not within range enough. I had to make sure that I would like walk near my door so my phone would connect and get the information that way. So that was like a big problem for me. But the new one, now that supports Thread, is much more reliable. So one, you can put something as simple as the new Eve Energy, which is will act as that Thread router. Just plug that in, you know, on the same wall that, you know, that's outside, and your Thread network is going to be extended, and it's going to reach that way. So you can like mesh that network and get connectivity that way via Thread. For me, I have a whole army of the Nano Leaf bulbs in my basement. So we have the whole like basement covered in these Nano Leaf bulbs. You know, outside and above is where this is. And we have an all brick house, and it's still able to connect via Thread through that distance and through a brick wall. I was really impressed that it connected over Thread, because I was not sure if it was going to. And I'm like, okay, am I need to put like a HomePod mini or something up here that's going to reach, or am I going to need to put in the Eve Energy or something? And I didn't need to. It just connected automatically via those Nano Leaf bulbs that I had in my basement to the Thread network. So that was really clutch. So I'm really happy to see the Thread support here. It makes a lot of sense for something like this. Another thing I like is how the Eve app displays everything graphically. Jump into the Eve app, you can see the temperature, humidity, and your weather trend in the app. In each of those, it shows it historically. So it'll actually show you all your data points over time. You can view the individual data points if you want. And when you're looking at the graphs, it can even highlight areas automatically for you. So if we're looking at like temperature, it'll show me like my bar, or not my bar graph, but my line graph of all the weather. And then all of a sudden, like if it dips below freezing, it'll actually highlight that below freezing section in blue. So it's really apparent that you drop below that freezing mark for the day or the night.
Right.
And then it'll even point out your highs and lows for the day that I was able to collect. And then you can view it by hour, by day, by week, or by month. And then you can even put a comparison line on there and compare for the same period before it. So a lot of really nice stuff in the app. Humidity is similar. It'll actually highlight the areas where it's like hit the threshold to rain. So you can actually see where it likely rained. And then you could always create automations and rules based on those things. If your humidity level hits a certain point, or your, you know, temperature hits a certain point, do this action. So there's a lot of stuff you can do automation wise with these metrics. So overall, I've been very impressed. I mean, these things are battery powered, work solely through HomeKit. Eve app has a bunch of different information, local metrics for that 12 hour forecast prediction. The larger display makes it very easily glanceable. The only real things that I have a problem with is HomeKit's limitations. The fact that HomeKit doesn't allow for rain or wind for this thing to be able to collect them. Because, you know, if Apple did allow those metrics in HomeKit, Eve would be one of the first ones to launch something that would work with that. So that's my only kind of minor problem with this thing at all.
Which, that would be so awesome, especially with rain and stuff, which we'll talk about the Nintendo system that you have experience with now too. But I remember If This Then That, you used to be able to set up triggers with like Philips Hue bulbs, where if it's raining near you, and it might still be able to do this, but if it's raining, turn my Philips light blue for a moment or whatever. And you can kind of have this visual clue of, oh, it's raining outside, if you can't look out a window. But, you know, little fun things like that. And hopefully HomeKit will start adding these new sensors and information to HomeKit in general. But then you also are messing around with the Nitatmo weather station. We've talked about that a few weeks ago. And the Nitatmo weather station has things like rain collection, and you can find out how much rain has fallen, and a bunch of other sensors. Again, not accessible to HomeKit, but in the Nitatmo app, you can see all that. So how has your experience been with the Nitatmo weather station stuff? And what have you been able to get through like a HomePod or Siri?
I think it's just so funny that I was the one who ended up with this before you.
I know.
You were so committed. People, you were even teasing us on Twitter, like, how did you end up with this before Steven did.
That's ridiculous.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Huh? No, you're not sorry. You're not really sorry. Tell me. I mean, how? But now you can actually advise me on it. So, I mean, how is it? Is it worth it? I mean, do you get cool data from it? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff you can collect from this. There are a good amount of, you know, metrics that are able to show in the home app. So, yes, things like the wind and the rain, those will not show in the home app, but you can still get your temperature, your humidity. I think it even collects the air pressure as well, but that you can view in other apps, not directly in the home app, because they don't show that information because it doesn't really help you by itself. So you can get all that kind of generic weather station information right from your backyard. So the weather kit, it comes in a few different setups. So you can buy just like the normal Natatmo indoor air quality monitor, which gives you like your indoor air quality. I think it's called like the Healthy Home Coach, and it's got your air quality, your temperature, humidity, stuff like that. You can tap the top, it'll give you your current situation on the inside, air quality and such. And then you can also get the weather station, which would be the indoor module as well as one outdoor module. The outdoor module is battery powered, so you don't have to do anything with it. It's all watertight and everything. You just mount it into a place that's out of direct sunlight. It includes a little like Velcro band that you could put around like a post on your porch or something like that to strap it down. And as long as it's not in direct sunlight, should be good. And then that'll collect your outdoor stuff, like your outdoor, I think it does the air quality, and then your temperature, humidity, pressure, stuff like that. So all that information is collected, and then all that can be shown in HomeKit. And then you have the option to add on the other weather station components, including like the rain gauge and the wind sensors, like the anemometer, and use those too. So your rain gauge, it'll show you how much you're collecting, how fast, how much of a rainfall it is, like 1, 2, or 3 drops of water, like how fast it is. That'll show you how much you're collecting per, you know, set amount of time. And then how much it rained for like the entire day. It's really cool. It's basically just a clear little cup and it funnels it down. And when you actually open up the bottom to get in to replace the batteries and everything, you can see there's like a little teeter totter effect there that's going back and forth to measure how much rain is coming in and how frequently it's coming in. So you've got that going for the rain gauge. And then there's the wind gauge, which will show you the direction that the wind is going, how fast it is currently blowing, and the highest gust for the day. We've had some pretty crazy like tornadoes come through here and issues like power and all that. So it's kind of neat to be able to see all of that. And as we're getting into weather season, I like to be able to know how much rain we're actually getting and try to keep an eye on, you know, our yard and garden and everything like that. How much water is coming in from actual rain and how much we need to be doing ourselves. So it's been solid. I've had no issues with it. And the range on the outdoor tools is phenomenal. I mean, I have them mounted on our fence pretty far away. One is, I don't know, 30 feet from our house, like where the indoor sensor is. But the other one is way far away, like at the end of our property line, because I wanted to make sure I got a good clear spot for the wind to come through and it's not like being blocked by trees or next door houses or anything. But it connects just fine. So it's really great. I've had no issues. It'll collect information automatically and send it over. But if you can tap on the top of the indoor module, it'll go ahead and take a reading of all of that right that second. And then you can view it all in the Natatmo app, as well as whatever information you can get in the home app.
Very cool. And so what, when you ask the HomePod or you ask Siri, like it can tell you the temperature, like the Eve weather station, is there any other information you can get just directly from Siri?
I believe, so anything you see in the home app, you're going to be able to get through there. And I'm pretty sure as far as like the outdoor, so you can do your indoor, I think your indoor air quality, humidity, temperature, and then your outdoor humidity and temperature for sure. I don't think you can ask like Siri what your pressure is. I'm pretty sure that's collected, but you're going to have to view that in like a third party app that shows like all the data that's collected, just like with the Eve weather too.
Well, very cool. Well, I'd love to hear your experience as you use it long term. And in our usual, well, in my usual practice, I've bought something as we record, which is the Eve weather. And also, I fell down a rabbit hole while I was buying it.
Of course.
Sorry, Andrew, but I have to share this. I'm going to derail this. This is HomeKit. It's actually HomePod Mini related. And I just have to know, have you ever seen the HomePod mini mounts that you can get on Amazon?
Dude, I was literally going to guess. Like, I was trying to think of something crazy that you would get for a HomePod mini. I'm like, oh my God, did you get one of those cool ceiling mounts for the HomePod mini? Because there are like ceiling mounts that you can do. You have to deal with running the cable, but it's pretty neat.
Andrew, I had no idea there was an entire world of accessories for HomePod mini.
If Apple makes it, there are accessories.
Oh my goodness. I mean, there's like little shelves you can buy where you can put the HomePod above a outlet on the wall. There's like these clear things you can put on the wall to hold the HomePods. There's the ceiling things. They even have like traveling cases. Like, what in the world?
When the HomePod Mini came out, one of the first videos I did was how you can create a portable HomePod Mini by just, you know, connecting it to an adequate USB-C PD battery pack and how long it'll last. And it was crazy. And yeah, now there are literally like, you know, little stations that you can pick up that'll like connect to, route the cable, and you got a portable, you know, HomePod Mini all-in-one unit. It's nuts.
This is insane. I also, now it gets a little sad because they also have accessories for the larger HomePod, albeit not as many for obvious reasons, but they have this like freestanding floor stand that's like 30 inches high for the large HomePod.
I kind of like that.
It cradles the large HomePod, and then you could do the cable management down the side, I guess, to kind of have it just kind of float in the middle of the room, which seems like maybe in some business or education areas, like I could imagine, I don't know, like a museum or some kind of like showroom showcase where that HomePod is just playing stuff. I mean, they even have ones where you can mount it on the wall for the large HomePod.
Well, yeah, because if you're going to be using it in like a stereo setup, people were using these as stereo speakers for their Apple TVs. So you want a speaker stand because you don't want your speaker low on the floor. You don't want it, you know, you want it more or less at eye level. So you have like that 30-foot or the 30-inch height that gives you a little bit more height to it, but it's not taking up space on your counter. And some people don't have like shelves or anything to the left and the right of their Apple TVs, their TVs at all, to put something on. So boom. You got it right there.
Oh my goodness. Now just seeing all these accessories for the larger HomePod that I didn't get is just making me sad that it no longer exists. But anyway, let's answer some listener questions to lighten the mood and get away from the death of HomePod. So listener questions. Again, we have a ton. I don't know if we'll make it to all of them, but we'll try to hammer through them. First one is from Chris. He was asking, is there a way to use Homebridge, which we've talked about a lot on the show, runs on a Mac or a Hoobs PC device, Raspberry Pi. It connects non-HomeKit devices to HomeKit using this protocol, Homebridge. And they were asking, can you link Alexa and HomeKit to control devices, like to control HomeKit devices via Alexa, devices that might not normally work with Alexa? And I did find a plugin. I'll put the link in show notes. It is a Homebridge plugin for Alexa, and it is advertising that you can enable Alexa to control your smart home devices in Homebridge. Now, I don't know if that includes HomeKit devices that are not in Homebridge, but I imagine you could get plugins for other devices, maybe like Eve and such, add those devices into Homebridge, but then all your HomeKit devices would be in Homebridge. And I don't know, again, reliability and speed and all that. Plus, you have to have that server running all the time. But it seems like there is a way-ish to use it. And so I'll put that plugin in the show notes, link to that. But Chris, if you try that and see if it works, let us know. We'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, I'm curious. I didn't know if there was a way to do just anything that works with Alexa, just make it work with HomeKit. I think it's usually on a per device basis.
Yeah.
So there's not, I didn't think there was like a blanket way to say, okay, anything that worked with Alexa, now make it work with HomeKit. I think it's really specific. So like Chris mentions that he did it with the Wemo plugins and the MyQ, which doesn't the MyQ has, the MyQ garage door opener has a HomeKit thing. So you shouldn't have to use any Homebridge stuff to make that work. Cause I have that and it does work. There is like the little module that makes it work specifically with HomeKit. So that should be fine. But anything that is in Wemo, those also work with HomeKit. So I don't know if those are like trying to make those work with Alexa, but those should work with
I think he's wanting to be able to ask, is your Alexa going off?
Oh,
in the
background? For sure. She was just yelling at me. Because you can't disable Alexa in things, people. You can't do it. It's still yelling at me because I said her freaking name.
I hear it.
Oh, man. I hate it. Anyway.
That's hilarious. I think what the issue might be, which he says he's tried the Alexa plugin, I assume, for Homebridge, you might have to also add your Wemo devices, even though they are HomeKit devices, you might have to add them to Homebridge. So you might have to add a Wemo plugin, even though it's not necessary, you might have to add the Wemo plugin and the MyQ plugin as well. I'm not sure.
Most of his devices are Alexa enabled, but aren't HomeKit devices. So he wants a way to use the Alexa devices in the Home app. That's literally the point of HomeBridge on a per app basis.
Yeah.
So, but he's saying his examples of Wemo and MyQ, those are specifically products that already do support HomeKit natively, as well as Alexa.
Right.
So, oh, I said it again.
Well, and also, like with the Wemo plugs, if you have older Wemo devices that don't have HomeKit, I can attest to that. I've used the Wemo plugins available in HomeBridge, and they have been added to HomeKit, and I've been able to use them there. So, I don't know. Maybe you could specify a little bit more, Chris, if that plugin doesn't work out for you.
Otherwise, I'm pretty sure it's on a per-device basis. Not every device is going to have a HomeKit or a HomeBridge plugin to make it work. But more and more have been coming around as people are using HomeBridge or getting used to HomeKit and wanting to retrofit it with the existing products they have that didn't originally have HomeKit.
So David, he sent us a message and asked a couple questions. I'll pair them together. He asked, are Nest and Ecobee, which are smart thermostats, are they joining HomeKit? And he also asked about, since Apple discontinued the airport routers, what have we replaced our networks with? And so I'll answer quickly. Ecobee is already in HomeKit or has HomeKit compatibility. I have an Ecobee thermostat. I've had it for 4 or 5 years, and it works with HomeKit really well. I use it all the time. So Ecobee is good. And Nest has an option that I'll let Andrew cover because I think he has experience with that. And when it comes to wireless routers, you know, with the whole Apple HomePod discontinuing and maybe a new device with a screen, kind of wish Apple would get back into the wireless router game. I'd be really curious to see how they did it. But since they're not, I use the Linksys Velop mesh network, the Wi-Fi 6 routers. Wes Hilliard at Apple Insider also uses those, and they work really well. And so those are the ones I use. But Andrew, tell me about Nest and Starling, if that's something that works with HomeKit.
Yeah, so Nest does not natively work with HomeKit. And since the Google acquisition, it is more and more unlikely that it ever will. That's not going to happen. That's one of the reasons I switched away from my Nest. I loved my original Nest thermostat. It was so pretty. And I am switching to Ecobee because they did support HomeKit natively. And Nest, as it got more and more entrenched into the Google, you know, machine, it just was likely not going to be a thing. But there is a option. It is the Starling Home Hub. So it's like $90, I think, and it allows almost any of your Nest products to work natively inside of HomeKit. It's fantastic. I have not tried it, but I've talked to a lot of people who have used it, and I mean, it's perfect for what you need it to do. It literally makes all those Nest products HomeKit compatible. So your Nest thermostat, the Nest Protect, the Nest Camera, Nest Secure, and the Nest and Yale Lock products all will show up in Apple Home and Siri. So for $90, you're going to add all of that HomeKit support to any Nest things that you have, and you can do everything they're just like they would natively be in HomeKit. Really nice option there if you have your Nest stuff and you want to get it into HomeKit. So I definitely recommend checking out the Starling Hub. As far as you mentioned what you did for your airport stuff, I definitely replaced my airport routers a long time ago because they were stuck on, you know, old Wi-Fi standards, and I've been moving stuff as Apple has been moving to newer versions of Wi-Fi. I'm currently using the Eero Pro Wi-Fi 6 for my main network, and then I have a second network for a lot of smart home stuff, which is the Linksys Velop Wi-Fi 6 tower routers. So I've got both of those networks running in my house, and they've both been phenomenal.
Very cool. We got time for maybe one more question. I know we have a ton that we might definitely get to next time, but Jeffrey was messaging me about Leviton switches. They are HomeKit enabled smart light switches that you install. And I unfortunately don't have experience with them. I have a Lutron, an Eve, and a Kara, but no Leviton. Andrew, do you have any experience with the Leviton switches?
What a question to end on where neither of us have any experience with them. Nope. I've not used them before. I'm familiar with the brand, but I have not actually used any of their products. Well, at least any of their HomeKit products.
Well, so sorry, Jeffrey. I know that you were going to get some and try them. So let us know how they work out so we can inform the rest of the HomeKit community. And then maybe one more, since that was bit of a dud. Sorry. Brian sent a message asking about a garage door opener. He's needing a new one and wants to know what is a good HomeKit integrated garage door opener. And again, I don't have one yet. I'll be researching these soon, but do you have one you could recommend?
Yeah. So there's a few different out there. I'm pretty sure Maris has one, but the one that I use is the one from Chamberlain, the Chamberlain MyQ garage door opener. It works perfect. I've never had any issues with it. Always responsive, always answers. There's like two little parts in there. There's the one that actually flashes or sends the signal or something to your existing like garage door machine. You're like the motor and stuff.
Right.
And then there's the second part, which is like a bridge essentially that connects that little guy to your network and adds the HomeKit support to it. I haven't had any problems with it. And what I really, really love about a garage door opener in HomeKit is that it shows up in CarPlay. You come and go from your house and it shows there right on your dashboard, your garage door. So like as I come home, I can just tap on the button, garage comes up. As I leave, the garage button's there, I can just press it and the garage door closes. So it's just a fantastic, you know, way to control it. So if I was picking one, I mean, I picked the MyQ garage door opener from Chamberlain.
Very cool. And I'll put links to those in show notes.
I love how we're getting a real time. Like you're clearly like, my cue.
We're trying to put it in. If I don't put it in now, I'm
putting
I'll forget,
it so. In the notes.
It is in. It is in.
Talking while typing.
That's right. So links to all that we talked about are in the show notes. And don't forget about the SwitchBot giveaway. You'll find instructions in the show notes and in the article that goes up on Apple Insider. We'd love for three of you to win all that good stuff from SwitchBot. Let us know. Tweet at Andrew and myself. Our Twitter handles are in the show notes. Follow us and mention us there. You can also email Andrew. That's in the show notes as well. Don't forget to give us a 5-30 star rating in Apple Podcasts. That would greatly help out the show. And don't forget to check out the Apple Insider Daily Podcast. Every day you can get the top Apple headlines in just a few minutes. And this is kind of a new plug, but if you have a podcast yourself and you would like to have an Apple Insider staff person as a guest on one of your podcasts, we would love to do that. We'd love to hear from you. You can request that or send us info. That will also be in show notes, but we'd love to hear from you about that if you have a show that you'd like a guest host on there from Apple Insider. Thanks for tuning in this week. We'll catch you next time.